stretch your hands this way this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Pastor David and the anointing you've placed upon his life, Father. You set this time apart, Lord God, to bring forth your word our hearts, Lord God. And we ask that you would take that which is prepared this morning, Father, and just send it forth to us, Lord God. Help us to receive it and use it accordingly as we go out this week and to reach the lost, Lord God. And we thank you for everything that's said and done this morning. Let the altar service be a product of your spirit, Lord God, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Somebody look at somebody else and say, you're looking good. I don't care what somebody else said. We're doing the Beatitudes. You know what the Beatitudes are, don't you? Happy, happy, happy. Somebody say happy, happy, happy. God's awesome. And what's up? Is my thing on? Is this on? Okay. You're blinking the lights. I knew whether I was missing something. Oh, okay. God's awesome, awesome, awesome. Everybody stand up. Now, I want you to turn around and give somebody a high five, low five, no five, some kind of five. Four and a quarter for some people.
Don't fall.
Yeah, that was. I'm sorry. God's awesome. Amen. Today we're moving out through the Beatitudes, and now we're working on heading up, moving out to them. We're getting there, almost through. Somebody say almost through. Amen, amen, amen. Get your Bibles out, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We are almost to the end of this rope. Amen. When you get to the end of the rope, what do? Let go. Why do I want to spend my time tying a knot when I can let go underneath me of the hands of an everlasting loving God? Just let go. Now, you can tie a knot if you want to, but I'd rather just let go. Amen? Now, today we're talking, blessed are the pure in heart. And we're going to look at this again. We're trying to get a whole new meaning to these, a whole new idea to this stuff. Blessed are the pure in heart. Praise God. Somebody say pure. How many remember Ivory soap? The pure soap. My daughter-in-law showed me another trick with this. The other day I came in the house, she cut less than a quarter of a bar off, she put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and it made an ivory mountain. And you take it and stick it in the bathtub with the kids, and they can play with this ivory mountain, and it doesn't bother them because it's pure ivory soap. Pretty cool, isn't it? I just remembered it right then. I'm so bad about remembering things when I should have remembered them before then, but praise God. I wish I remembered before that because I could put it in the sermon. Amen. Yeah, I did. I just did. Let me tell you a story. Y'all might have heard about this. There was an honest man being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy boulevard. Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing. He stopped at a crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman hit the roof, the horn, and screaming in frustration, she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and makeup. As she was still in the mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window, and she looked upon the face of a very serious police officer. The police officer ordered her to exit from her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. Wow. After a couple hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting for her personal effects. He said, I'm very sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, and cussing a blue streak at him, and I noticed the Choose Life license plate holder, the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, and Follow Me to Church on Sunday and Sunday School bumper sticker, and a chrome-plated Christian emblem on the truck. I naturally assumed you were driving a stolen car. Ah! Yeah, that's what we're talking about there. The pure in heart. Amen. The pure. Now get your Bibles out. Stand up. Matthew chapter 5. Stand for the reading of the word. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And here's ours today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see who? Wow. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is the reward, your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel on a candlestick. It giveth light unto all in the, all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men. This is what the Beatitudes are all about. The Beatitudes are all about letting your light shine before men, that they may see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Somebody say amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. I know, God, that many people are going through many things, Lord, and there's so much stuff in this world that will tear our nerves all to pieces. Father, so many times it seems like it's just a struggle to get out of bed in the morning at times. But, God, we know that you have already been there, and you promised us strength and comfort and hope. And God, in your word, there's power and there's anointing and there's authority. Father, help us, Lord, to look at your word in a fresh way, in an awesome way, and know, God, that you're in total, total control. We thank you for it right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray, and the church said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Tell somebody the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing and nothing and nothing shall be impossible. Let me give another hand clap of praise. Now, we've been talking about the B's, amen, the B vitamins, amen. Vitamins are beneficial. B vitamins have been used for years for energy, outlook, and strength. Jesus gives us some B vitamins for our spiritual energy, our outlook, and our strength. They're called the Beatitudes. Beatitudes. Remember, attitudes. Somebody say that. Attitudes. Before you ever arrive in any situation, when people see you coming down the road, I can promise you, your attitude will get there before you do. Amen. People see it. So it's important. God tells us how we can be to have a better attitude. Get it? Be to have. Okay. Here we go. Blessed. Happy. Somebody say happy, happy, happy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Awesome. Wow, that's an awesome thought. Blessed are the pure in heart. Matter of fact, the word pure in heart means literally you are happy from the inside out. Huh. How many like to be happy from the inside out? I mean, it's one thing to just have a surface happy. A surface happy is happy. But when you got a happy from the inside out, it's happy, 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 happy. Amen? So watch this now. True happiness and comes from letting the beauty of the cross shine through you. Through you. That's what we talked about reflecting it. Now we're going to talk about just letting the beauty of the cross shine through you. So when you're talking about pure in heart, you're not just talking about attitudes or actions now. You're talking about motives and you're talking about attitudes. And so God says this, he places a high premium, such a high premium on this, that he says that when you do this one, you're going to see me. Wow. You want God to show up? There's two ways. Number one, praise. It says in Psalm 22 and 3, he inhabits the praises of his people. He's there when you praise him. You want to be able to see him, though? That pure in heart. See, purity. Somebody says, oh no, here we go. Go ahead and say it and get over with. Oh no. Okay, there you go. Here we go. Now you've already said it. Amen. Now we'll be okay. So now, purity is a sixth step to happiness. Let me tell you something. There's a difference in purity and religion. Religion starts on the outside. Maybe it'll trickle on the inside. Did y'all hear that? Religion starts on the outside, and there's an outside chance that it'll move on the inside. Listen, is seen by man, seldom noticed by God. Oh, man. That was so good, I'm going to say that one again. Religion starts on the outside. It may affect the inside. May. It's always seen by man. Seldom is it seen by God. Wow. But now, purity starts on the inside and moves to the outside. And watch this. It always is seen by God and seldom by man. How many of them said they just don't know my heart, do they? Has ever said that? How many of you have been trying to help somebody and they go get all upset with you? If you go, if they only knew my heart, they would understand what I was doing. So you see, it's seldom seen by man, but God is always, somebody say always, always watching. And God sees when you're pure in heart to him. Now, when I get in this situation talking about purity, if I start talking about religion, it's going to be a bad day. But I start talking about purity before God, it's going to be an awesome day. So watch this. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, I read this story. You know, I read this story. Remember, it starts on the outside. And it starts on the outside. It's seen by God sometimes. But man, I read this story about a minister walking down the street when he came upon a group of about a dozen boys, all of them between 10 and 12. The group had surrounded a dog, and concerned that the boys were hurting the dog, he went over and asked, what are y'all doing with that dog? One of the boys replied, this dog is just an old neighborhood stray. We all want him, but only one of us can take him home. So we decided that whichever one of us could tell the biggest lie could keep the dog. Of course, the reverend was taken back. He said, you boys shouldn't have a contest telling lies, he exclaimed. Then he launched into a 10-minute sermon about lies from the beginning. He said, don't you know that the boy says it's a sin to lie, and ending with, when I was your age, I never told a lie. There was a dead silence. Just as the reverend was beginning to think he got through to him, the smallest boy gave a sigh and said, all right, give him the dog. The preacher told the biggest whopper that day. Blessed are the pure in heart. Remember, that's the kicker here. Blessed are the pure in heart. You see, the Pharisees were not so. They cared very little for the state of your heart. They didn't care. By matter of fact, they were so consumed with the outward forms of religion that their biggest concern was that it was their duty to make sure that everybody followed the rules. God has his rules. He has 10 commandments, plus he has guidance in the book of in the Levitical makeup. He tells us in Deuteronomy and tells us in other places things that we need to do and things how we handle things. So God has his 10 major laws, and then he has all those other laws that teach us how to take care of those 10 laws. Well, by the time the Pharisees, by the time Jesus had got on the scene, the Pharisees had taken those laws and added thousands of laws to enforce God's law. God's law does not need thousands of laws to enforce his law. Matter of fact, when you do that, here's what happens. When you do what they're doing, here's what happens. Number one, it's legalistic. Legalism is good for nothing but pulling out a yardstick. Everybody pulls out a yardstick and measures each other. And if you don't meet up to my standard, then you're not as holy as I am. And the problem with that is I've seen people with their yardstick walk around touching people going, you're not as holy as I am. And if somebody come along that's holier than them, according to their yardstick. And now all of a sudden the holiest one in the bunch is no longer the holiest one in the bunch. Now we got a problem. Legalism. It kills. It kills. It's also hypocritical. Because these guys were doing all this stuff and teaching all this stuff, and they were teaching and enforcing laws that they could not live. Wow. They're teaching stuff and showing stuff that them, their self, could not live. So they had become hypocrites. Jesus even called them hypocrites. But look, Matthew 23 and 27 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Wow. He didn't hold his tongue. He didn't hold it back. He told them how it was. He said, okay, fellas, you hypocrites, for you are like unto a whited sepulchre, for which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. What's a sepulchre? It's a tomb. He said, God, guys, this religion, I want to tell you about this religion, it's looking good on the outside. You're a whitewashed sepulchre, but inside, everything in it is dead. And he said, I want you to be pure in heart. But to be pure in heart, there's a difference in being pure in heart and following your checklist to make sure. You know, there was a big burly man visited the pastor's home and asked him to see the minister's wife, a woman well known for her charitable impulses. Madam, he said with a broken voice, I wish to draw your attention to the terrible plight of a poor family in this district. The father is dead. The mother is too ill to work. The nine children are starving. They're about to be turned out into the cold, empty streets unless someone pays their rent, which amounts to $400. How terrible, exclaimed the preacher's wife. May I ask who you are? The man, the sympathetic visitor, applied his handkerchief to his eyes. He says, I'm the landlord. You'll get it in a minute. Hypocrite. Yeah, I feel sorry for him. So you got to pay me so I can keep on feeling sorry for him. Blessed are the pure in heart. Purity. This word purity or pure has several interesting facets to it. First, it was used to describe dirty clothes that had been washed clean. Pretty cool. Secondly, it was talking about grain or flour that has been carefully sifted and has no impurities in it. Thirdly, it speaks of milk or wine that has not been mixed with any other liquid and is not diluted or watered down. It was pure. So I like the scripture. If you look in one translation of it, it says, blessed is the man who is genuine in heart, who is authentic, who is not a phony, because such a man will see God. I love this. I told this a couple Tuesday nights ago, and I told you you'd be hearing it again. Here it is. The Bible tells us, talking about purity, Philippians 1, 9 and 10, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound and still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things which are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That word sincere, if you take in some of its translations, if you take it in Latin, it means literally without wax. Wow. He says, I want you to be without wax until Jesus comes. Now, wait a minute. Without wax, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You mean you don't have candles around? You don't want me to, well, you know, wax? You don't want me to do anything? Well, wait a minute. What, you want to take care of my floors? Somebody just said, see there, honey, I ain't supposed to fix that floor. I said, leave it dirty like this. I'll wax it. Without wax, back in that day, the potters would be spinning and making their pottery, and they would take some of their pottery, and instead of trying, once you made it and once you tempered it, then you'd have to crush it and go through a tremendous process if you wanted to do over again with this, because it's already tempered. So, in order to sell it, they would take it and put wax in the cracks. As they put the wax in the cracks, then they would paint over it. And they go through another process with it, and they would sell it as an awesome piece of pottery, but when you got it home, using it, the wax would melt and the liquid or whatever you put in it would go everywhere. The pot would break. And so because it was such a bad thing going on that day, the potters that were actually selling the stuff that had no cracks were not concealed. They were sincere. Also means to hold up to the light to examine. All right, sell, sin, without, sear, wax. They would take the pottery that did not have cracks in it, the pottery that did not have wax in it, and they would mark on the pottery sincere. And so as you're there, as you're buying your pottery, you see the word sincere or sincere marked on the pottery. What did it mean? Without wax. You could trust it. It was going to be all right. It would not, when the heat come on, it would not melt. When things got rough, it would not break. It was sincere. And God says, I want my people to be sincere without wax. I know sometimes we come along, we got a crack, and we putting the wax in it, walk in and go, I'm Mr. Super Billy Bad Super Christian. Don't mess with me. I'm able to jump five pews with a single bound. I can outrun a speeding preacher running down the aisle and let the heat get on. And what happens? Let it get tough. What happens? God wants us sincere without wax. It doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it means you strive to be. It doesn't mean that you don't ever mess up. It means that when you do, you're quick to go to God and ask for forgiveness. It doesn't mean that you never do anything wrong. What it means is you're quick to feel the prick of the Holy Spirit. When He pricks your heart, you're quick to make it right. Pride is pushed out the window, and you hold on to God. So you see, we are unable, every last one of us, we're unable to have one single moment of purity without the help of God. Without the blood of Christ, forget it, none of us can be sincere. This isn't religion. Religion, you have to trust your own self. No, the problem is, religion was not sincere. But God tells us to be sincere and to desire the sincere word. The pure word. So you see, here's the path of purity. I'm going to give you the path of purity, and then we're going to have some fun. Ready? The path of purity. Number one, cleansing is available. The blood of Jesus Christ. We couldn't do it. There's no way under the heavens that we can be pure without the blood of Christ. Don't matter how good you think you are. Doesn't matter how many good deeds you do. Doesn't matter how many whatever. Without the blood of Christ. Without the blood of Christ, there's no cleansing. Right? It's the cross plus nothing. Religion has the cross plus rules. Legalism has the cross plus rules. But the truth is, it's the cross plus nothing. Somebody say that. It's the cross plus nothing. Okay, so cleansing is available. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So there's cleansing available. Number two, there's confession. Confession assures the cleansing and the purifying. The cleansing's available by the blood, but unless we get involved, it doesn't work. Kind of like if somebody is in my house in the middle of the night and I call my neighbor and ask, can he come over and check for me? It's my house. I don't call my neighbor. Unless I'm down and out, I can't move, I'm an invalid, something's wrong, I'm sick. I'm definitely not going to tap my wife and say, go check on that, please. But her Italian, I have to hold her down and say, can you please let me go get it? If you don't mind, ma'am, let me check it out first. If I need any help, go ahead. Bring the big knife and the gun. You can handle it. Okay. So there's cleansing available. Confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just. So we know that purity comes from the cleansing of the blood, from the blood of Christ, from the cross. But we have to go to Him and ask Him, tell Him, talk to Him. God, I blew it again. Some of my biggest, greatest prayers are, Lord, I blew it again. Anybody else's prayer start with that? Lord, I blew it again. Or how about this one? It's me again, Lord. I know I'm the only one. It's me again, Lord. I ought to write a song. It's me again, Lord. Blow the trumpets because I blew it again. Amen. Cleansing, confession, and then compliance. First is Jesus only. That's it. His work. You don't do it. Jesus. It's His work. The second is you're accepting. First, you're telling Him that you're confessing that I need You, God, because I can't do it on my own. I keep messing up. And then there's compliance, which assumes a life of purity. Why is this? Why? 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Again, that word unfeigned is another word that can be used for sincere. Without wax. That's another verb part of that. Love of the brethren, that you may love one another with a pure heart fervently. So now, what is it? Cleansing comes from the blood alone, but we have to get in it, so we have to admit it, and after we admit it, then we got to live it. We got to believe it, we got to admit it, and then we got to live it. When we do that, God says, now you're moving toward a pure heart. Is my response to His reach. God's reaching out to every last one of us in here. But how do we respond to His reach? It's important. So now, three steps to having a pure heart. I'm glad you asked that. I'm going to tell you. There's three steps. This isn't that, give me three steps, give me three steps, mister. No, this ain't that. Okay. All right. First thing you got to do is you got to remember that God sees everything. Well, Lord, did you see that, Lord? Look, I'm pretty sure there's times He goes, son, what are you doing? Well, Lord, nobody else. I did. Kind of when you fall down and you get embarrassed. I remember one day I actually stopped. A pack told us to help fight a fire. That's when I was a fireman. I jumped out. I followed the fire truck. I saw this humongous smoke coming from everywhere. I just got off work. I'm coming through. Pack told us. I see this humongous flames. I see this all going on. So I pull up. When I pull up, I jump up and ask the chief, can I help? Yeah, we need you bad. We need you bad. Some of the guys didn't even have any equipment. I had my equipment on from Chaco Winnie back in the old days, that great big hat that had that beard that went way on down to here. And that big old black coat and the boots that went about. We thought we were awesome. I jumped out, and I'm trying to help. The wires are coming off this two-story house. They've caught a field on fire. There's sparks going everywhere. This is some major stuff going on. There's a fire. The fire is going by the LP tank. And he looks at me and says, can you get that out? And so I'm going out, and while I'm there, the wall falls down, and I had to get out of the way of the wall. I mean, it was just terrible, the stuff going on. And all of a sudden, as I'm walking through, and the fire was so hot, And I felt like I was doing such a good job. I was, you know, feeling good about it. And all of a sudden, I saw Channel 9 out there. And all of a sudden, I went from trying to do good to... And I noticed Channel 9's cameraman zoomed right in on me. And I said, ain't this awesome? And so... I just put out the LP tank. The wall had fallen over. I'm back through. I'm Superman. I walk through, and now, look, I know he's watching me now, so I'm trying to, you know, somebody's watching, but try to like you don't see him. And so I'm going. And while he's on me, I didn't see that hose. And the problem was, it weren't down here, it was up here. That's why I'm signing the profile, telling them, man, get me on film. I turned around and went right into it and knocked my hat off, knocked me down. And I got to believe the man said, I meant to do that. You see, even your best intentions, I mean, your best intentions sometimes can get the wax shows. Right? So see, Mark, it says, Mark well that God doesn't miss a move you make. He's aware of every step you take, Proverbs 21, 5 and 21. There's nothing secret from God. There's no surprise to him. He already knows it. What's so cool is he knows it and he still loves us. Isn't that awesome? He knows me and still loves me. My wife told me many times, said, when my friends come around and start telling her some of the junk I did when I was a teenager, she said, if I'd have met him back then, I'd never be married to him now. Yeah. You know, God knows all of it. And he still loves us. Wow. But although he still loves us, you got to remember, he's watching. And his angels are making a list. Been checking it twice. Yeah. So now, you can't please everyone, but you can strive to please God. And that's what having a pure heart is. I strive to please my God. That's where the pure heart comes in. Now my motives are pure before the Lord. God's watching, and I'm trying to please him. So number one, remember that God sees everything. Number two, review my motives. Why do we do what we do? It seems like I ask my children that when they were coming. I ask them every day, why are you doing that? Why do you do the things you do? And you know what? I'm pretty sure I know he has. God has asked me, why are you doing? Why are you doing it that way? Well, Lord, if you just listen for me, I'll tell you how it's going to be. Nobody's ever done that, have you? Well, Lord, if you just listen for 5 minutes, I'll tell you how this is going to work out. Oh, good, tell me. You know what? If I was God, I honestly believe I would have to wear some kind of brace for I'm laughing so hard all the time. People telling me how it's going to be. So now, a man's ways seem right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his motives. Test yourself to make sure you are solid in the faith. There's three areas. Ready? Get ready. There's three areas. Number one, this one's a hard one. Giving. Stewardship. What's this? Are you giving in order to get something in return? Or are you just giving to be noticed by other people? Do you do what you do to get the accolades down here? Or are you doing it to please him? Remember, there's a difference. You know, when you give and nobody knows, God's watching and smiling. When you do what you do, no matter what it is, no matter how small, no matter how big, when you do it to please God, you're pleasing him. It's between you and him. Now he's watching. Now you will get something for it. He said he would give you something for it. Other people may never know what you've done. It don't matter. Because God knows. Here's the hypocrites. Whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you. That's what they were doing. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by the people, I assure you they got their reward. I'd hate to think that everything I did for God, I've already got my reward down here. Because I can promise you, I've come up short a few times. And what I thought maybe, you know, God, if I saw you doing that, I think I would do a little better than that. Remember, your stewardship. Are you trying to please man, or are you trying to please God? No matter how big, no matter how little. The widow with her two mites, that's all she had. Less than a penny. And God says she gave more than all of those guys that were just trying to show off how much they threw in the pot. Because her motive was to please God. So now, watch this. Number two, praying, spirituality. How many think you're spiritual? I'm going to give you a little secret. Y'all are. Okay. How many know that you're not a human being facing this, doing a spiritual experience? You're a spiritual being in a human body. You're going to be alive for the rest of your days and then some. Even though you might take a last breath here. God's watching. God sees it. Watch this now. Am I talking to God so that others can hear me? Am I trying to impress others or please God? When I'm trying to be spiritual, is my spirituality legalism? Am I just doing it so people can see him and say, he's a spiritual man? Man, he's a spiritual man. He prays. Do you know he prays for 1 hour every morning? How many here can be honest? And if you are, it's fine. It's fine. But how many here can raise your hand and say, I pray for 1 hour every morning before I do anything else? I pray 1 hour. Raise your hand. Sometimes when I'm now, if you do, it's fine. It's wonderful. But don't base your spirituality. He prays for an hour a day. To watch out when he prays, fire's going to fall down from heaven. I remember one time I was listening to a guy. We had a hurricane coming here. It was years ago. And he said, he was preaching, and he had everybody all fired up. And he said, if somebody in here was spiritual, and if they could stand on the edge of the water and say, hurricane, turn around and go back. And everybody was shouting. And I thought about it. Dude, why don't you try it? You see, am I trying to please people? Am I trying to show my spirituality to people? Or am I trying to please God? Am I trying to make him proud? And then here finally, y'all getting quiet. Did you check this battery? Servanthood. Now, there's spirituality and there's servanthood. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Psalm 102. Let me ask you a question. Are you striving? Well, this is cool. Are you striving for the applause or seeking the applause of man? Or are you trying to please God and have his approval? This is some tough stuff. It's questions you have to ask yourself. I ask myself this stuff all the time. God, why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I trying to please you, God? Am I trying to make you proud of me, God? Am I trying to do everything I can for you? Or am I just trying to do this so I get my pat on the back? I tell you what, I had a very good training ground to quit playing for the pat on the back. Very good training ground. Number one, the ministry. Don't expect a whole lot of pats on the back. But number two, working that fountain. I didn't see a whole lot of pats on the back. I got a lot of foot and tail. Work yourself hard as you can work it. So you know what I decided to start doing? In the ministry, at fountain, you can do it on your job too. That is, while I'm here, God's got me here for a reason. And I'm going to please him. If I please him on my job, in my life, in my church, with my family, if I please him with my stewardship, with my spirituality, with my servanthood, if I please him, I know it's going to make some people mad. I know it's going to make some people sad. It's going to make some people happy. But you know what? I'll never make everybody happy. Is anybody in here can say you make everybody happy every day? Happy, happy, happy. I can't even look in the mirror and make me happy sometimes. Yeah. So watch. Review my motives. Why do I do? I got one more set of three. Y'all ready? Okay, get rid of y'all. Right, this is good. This is good stuff. Okay, it's got to be good stuff. It's the word. It's good stuff. Okay, so I want you to think. You know, sometimes I send out the mighty army. Somebody come out and say, "What in the world are you talking about?" And I say, "Well, you know what? I could really go in depth and put a lot of scriptures and a lot of stuff in there." I said, "But I want you to think." This morning I sent out an African proverb: when you shoot a zebra, when you kill a zebra's, let me get it right here. When you, that, can you, you got that? Can you tell me what it is? Oh, y'all got it! Yeah, you got it twice. Look, I got to fix that too. look. Somebody wrote back and said, "What?" And I wrote back, "Well, when you shoot the white, the black dies too." And he went back and said, "What?" I said, "Okay. You mess with a husband, you're messing with his wife. You mess with a child, you're messing with the parent. When you get somebody I'm emotionally connected to and you mess with them, you're going to hurt me too. So be careful." That's one of the thoughts. There's other thoughts to go along with that. But I want you to think, come up with it, think. You know, so that's why I send them out. Sometimes you go, "What in the world is this?" Just remember, when you see something weird, say, "Pastor's trying to get us to think again." Oh, no. Okay. So remember that God sees everything. Review your motives. Why you do what you do? Are you pleasing God or pleasing man? Number three, realign my priorities. Here's your priority test. Realign my priorities. Get ready. And then we're getting ready to get out of here. Y'all saying, somebody say praise God. All right. Realign my priorities. Watch this. My activities. Where do I invest? Listen to this. This is awesome. You need to ask myself this all the time. Where do I invest my time, my talent, my treasures? Where do I put it? Where do I put my time, my talent, my treasures? Because a lot of times God's wanting to use my time, my talent, my treasures, and I've got it tied up doing something else. So it's important. Matter of fact, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Number two, anxieties. What do I worry about the most? Everybody's got something you worry about. Don't worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. Life is, isn't life more than food and body and more than clothing? God's got this. I have to keep reminding myself many times, God's got this. You know, I get all upset and get all worried about something, and I'm really, and then something say, "Dude, God's got this." Sometimes you'll say, well, you know, I've heard people say, "Well, you don't ever seem to get upset or concerned about something." Yeah, I am very concerned, and sometimes I get upset, but when I do, I try immediately to go, take a chill pill. Take a chill pill again. Somebody asked me why I like going to Starbucks. I work on my sermons while I'm at Starbucks. Got all this noise going on, all these people hollering. And they said, "How in the world can you think? I get some of my best sermons while I'm sitting there drinking coffee." And she goes, "How in the world can you do that with all that noise going on?" I said, "Because that noise is not directed at me. It's white noise. It's not directed at me. I'm not hearing Pastor or David. I'm hearing blah, 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 blah." And so, cool. And then, with all that noise going on, and then, total quiet kind of messes me up. So, I'm hearing that white noise, and honestly, things are flowing. I'm writing, I'm typing, things are flowing, because all that energy and all that stuff's going around, all that noise and music and all this stuff, somebody called me and go, "Where you at?" I like to tell them, I'm down here at Rock 93.2, just chilling. I'm at the club getting down. No, I'm at Starbucks. You ever call me, hear all that music? It's because I'm sitting under the speaker. just so I can hear all that noise. No joke. I'm sitting in there hearing all that noise, and it's not directed to me, and I actually can think. I know that makes sense to a lot of y'all, but it helps me. White noise. Okay. So now, when I find myself getting anxious, I have to stop, breathe, take a chill pill, get out His Word, read His Word, and go, God's got this. Then ambitions. What's your goals in life? Now, I'm not going to get super-duper-wop-whooper spiritual on you. But I can tell you, your number one goal in your life should be to please God. Because if you're pleasing God, He'll help you please your wife and your family and your co-workers and the things around you. Number one, the number one thing in my life is, God, let me please You. You see, He says that when I reviewed myself and I see what I'm doing, and now I've got a pure heart and I'm sincere, if I'm sincere, then guess what I can see? I can see Him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, follow holiness with all people, and it says, and without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Back in the old day of legalism, they'd say if you didn't have your dress long and your hair short and you didn't have on anything on, then you couldn't see God. That was legalism. Legalism. When your motives are pure before God and you are trying to please God, and you got that pure heart before God, God, I really want to please You. I remember one time I was in the grocery, or I was in Walmart, not Walmart, Roses back in the day. I was having a bad day. Man, I was having a bad day. It was so bad. Daniel's a little bitty thing. DC's not much bigger. Well, DC was a lot bigger because he was up, you know, like here. But still, Daniel's on my shoulders, and DC, I'm holding DC's hand. We're walking in. I'm so full of anxiety. And I walk in, I got DC saying something, and I said, where's Daniel? DC, where's Daniel? Oh no, I left him in the car. And Daniel went. Praise God. So I put him there walking, and DC goes, Dad, I need this toy. I need it. And I said, you need it? I need it. He said, if I don't need it, Dad, I'm going to die. And I said, I'll preach your funeral, son. Put it back. Yeah, look. So then one day, that same day, Daniel goes, watch what Daniel does. Daniel goes, Dad. I said, what, Daniel? He says, Dad, look at this. I said, yeah, it looks pretty cool, don't it? He said, you think maybe we could work it out to get it. Now, DC done told him he's going to die if he didn't get it. And I said, Daniel, honestly, right now, buddy, I'm so stressed. If you don't mind, I just honestly, and things are tight, can you just put it back up? He said, no problem. For the Lord, he said, no problem. He took it, and we put it back on the shelf. He pulled everything up and stuck it way in the back. And I said, Daniel, what are you doing? He said, Daddy, you told me we couldn't afford it right now, so that's fine. He said, but I want to make sure nobody gets it before I can get back. And I said, give it here, son. But see, that day, one was, and they switched. I don't think he's always been that way, okay? He's back there going, yeah, check it out. Sometimes they traded hats. Sometimes it was DC and sometimes it was Daniel. But that day it was Daniel. See, and I felt it. DC was saying I owed it to him. And Daniel was saying, I want to please You, Father. So I'll put it right back up. And that taught me such a valuable lesson that day. You see, our goal should be to please the Father. And when He doesn't answer the way we expect, when He doesn't give it to us the way we think we should get it, when He doesn't doesn't make everything hunky-dory, and you think, wow, God, are you trying to kill me? I did everything right. I crossed every T. I dotted every I. I did everything right, God. And this is what I got. God is watching down and saying, just please me. Just seek me. I got this. There's a reason why this is happening, and I'm making something out of you that you'll never understand until you see it. I'm taking the wax out of you. I'm making you sincere. Wow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's an acrostic for pure. This was my first sermon. I just broke it all down, put it all up, put it back in the box, so to speak. You know, write it down. It ain't a box, y'all. What I meant was, never mind. Okay, pure. This is my first sermon, and the Lord really started pricking my heart. And so instead of doing that, I just let it be acrostic. P. Pursue to please God. You know, sometimes we're waiting for our ship to come in. Sometimes we need to swim out to meet it. Pursue to please God. Don't wait for every opportunity to come to you. Look for the opportunities. Don't wait for God to do this. Look and see it. Pursue to please God. Number U. P-U. Undergo change from the inside out. Do you want to be happy?
Happy.
Or do you want to be happy, happy, happy? You want to be happy, happy, happy inside out. P-U-R, reject hypocrisy. You find yourself somebody coming up to you and they're trying to tell you that you got to look like this, you got to sound like this, and you got blah, 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 blah. Just go, I'm washed in the blood. I'm going to follow his word. And that's good. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. And then E. Experience God. If I pursue to please him, I let him change me from the inside out. I reject hypocrisy. Quit adding to and taking away. Then I'll experience God like I've never experienced him before. Because he said, I will see him. Not only will I see him, I'll see him in things happening around me, but people will see him in me. Now he's shining through me. Wow. That's so awesome. That is so, so awesome. I want everybody to stand. God desires us to be happy from the inside out. Let me ask you a question today. Do you want God's blessings? Do you want God to do what he does best? God desires us to check our motives, to check why we do what we do. God, I want to please you. I want to please you, God. I want to please you, God. Everything that happens, I may not like it, but I'm seeking to please God. When I'm seeking to please God, he may do things I don't quite understand. But I trust him. not about me, God. It's about you.
Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsake and take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender.
God, I want to be pure in my motives. I want to pure my heart. I want to be sincere without wax. God, number one, I got to please you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Right now, I invite all of you. Come to all of you. Come to all of you. Give it to us. All that will, come and pray.
Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love.
Thank you, Father. God, I want to be pure. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God. God. Without wax. Without wax. Without wax. God, I want to be like that tempered pot that can stand the heat, that can stand the storm, that can stand the shaking. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody else, you want to pray? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I love you. God, I want to be sincere. God, without wax. Without wax. Father, I thank you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you, Lord, for these mighty men. I ask you to touch them, to bless them abundantly, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why do we do what we do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Make me broken.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Make
thank you, Lord.
Empty.
Glory to the
so
Lamb of God.
Be filled, 'cause I'm still holding onto my will.
Yes.
And I'm completed when you are with me.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Make me lonely so I can be yours. So I want no more.
Thank you, Father.
More than you, Lord. 'Cause in the darkness, I know you will hold me. Make me lonely.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. I thank you. Touch us, Lord. Touch us, God. Examine our motives. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.